Hey friends, mark your calendars. The Intentional Motherhood Retreat is coming up October 23rd through 25th in Portland, Oregon. It's a meaningful few days to slow down, connect, and refocus on what matters most in your motherhood journey. Also, some exciting news, Intentional Fatherhood has officially launched on all podcast platforms, including YouTube. So go subscribe, check out the first few episodes, and share it with all the fathers in your life. For more details and registration info for the Motherhood Retreat, you can go to intentionalparents.org, or you can go check out our new website for fathers, intentionalfatherhood.org. Welcome to the Intentional Parents Podcast. Intentional exists to help parents in their God-given task to raise passionate Jesus followers. We exist to bring hope, help, and healing to families. Each week, we will talk about anything from parenting, marriage, lifestyle, and what it looks like to follow Jesus in our time. Intentional is made up of Phil and Diane Comer and Brooke and Elizabeth Moser. I am Brooke, and the funny thing is, we are all family. Elizabeth is Phil and Diane's daughter, so we're a family figuring this thing out together. We hope this podcast feels like you're sitting with us in our home talking about how to do this thing called life together. Elizabeth and I are your hosts. Let's get into this week's podcast.
Welcome back to the Intentional Parents Podcast. It's Mom and I here again today to hopefully attempt to answer some of the amazing questions that you all sent in over Instagram about homeschooling. Obviously, this is a major topic right now, and we previously released an episode just kind of talking more big picture of why we're doing what we're doing and hopefully inspiring in that way. But today is going to be a lot more practical. I don't know if you're like me in that I just need, okay, but somebody tell me how to do it. Which we're going to get as practical as we can. And you guys all had some great questions. So hopefully between Mom and I, we can take a stab at answering some of these. But I will say the number one question that we got asked is the number one question I have been asking for the last year and a half of homeschooling. And it is essentially this: how do you homeschool with babies and toddlers?
Oh, gee, yes.
And we joked when we recorded the last episode that how many times did I say, I will never homeschool with babies and toddlers. I can't. That just sounds near impossible with my personality. I said it over and over again. And I have two toddlers. So I'm right there with you. So Mom, do you want to take the first stab at this question?
Well, just to give you a little bit of the story, John Mark was five and I decided to homeschool him for kindergarten. And September was coming along and I had a baby and a toddler. So Elizabeth was born a month before school started, August 11th. And Rebecca was this chattery, constantly involved kind of a little 2.5-year-old. So we started homeschooling with less than ideal situation, which I think is just normal. Everybody seems to start with these distractions. And I do remember that at the same time, my 5-year-old had the attention span, maybe a 30-second attention span. So I am absolutely sure that he would have been, I was even sure at the time that if I took him in and had him evaluated, that he would probably be diagnosed with some sort of crazy something because he couldn't sit still. And I didn't want him as a kindergartner to be put on heavy-duty drugs that were used back in early 1980s to calm kids like him down. So I took the advice of an educator who said, try 15-minute segments. So it actually ended up working pretty well. For him, 15-minute segments were the most he could do. For the baby and the toddler, that was about the most I had during the day. Yeah. It's when they all got older that was a little bit harder. When, Elizabeth, you were that toddler. And I was trying to teach John Mark and Rebecca. And I remember thinking, I homeschooled for several years with you on my hip.
Yeah.
And I've been crooked a little bit ever since.
Did a number on your back. Yeah. And that's, I mean, to give perspective of our stage that we're currently doing it in, when we started last year, let's see, I had a fourth grader and a second grader and a three-year-old and a mm-hmm. one-year-old. Mm-hmm. And my three-year-old is delayed developmentally. And so the two younger feel an awful lot like what I would assume twins feel like.
Yes, I think so too.
different, but similar. Mm-hmm. And so they very much, now they're three, or no, 2.5 and 4.5, but they both feel like they're about mm-hmm. 2.5 or three. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talked in the previous episode about the shedding of ideals. And man, mm-hmm. homeschooling with babies and toddlers has yes. been the ultimate shedding of mm-hmm. my ideals. I joke mm-hmm. with Brooke all the time that I have the makings to be a fantastic teacher. Mm-hmm. I have in my mind a perfectly planned out school day that uh-huh. I think our two older would probably thrive under. Uh-huh. But it is absolutely not possible yep. in the current stage that we're in. Mm-hmm. And so I'd hope that that alone gives you a little bit more perspective mm-hmm. of recognizing that it is chaotic. It's going to be chaotic. Mm-hmm. And that there isn't, you can't plan your way out of that or structure your way out of that. It just is the stage that you are in. So rather mm-hmm. than fighting it, I think it's creatively figuring out ways to make those 15-minute increments mm-hmm. or figuring out when are the best times of day for your toddler that mm-hmm. maybe they would play independently mm-hmm. and you could focus on certain things. So for us, a couple things that have helped, they've not fixed it. None of these are like, here's exactly what you do to make it work with a baby and a toddler. They just, some days they work, some days they don't. But we have like a couple of special toys that come out when I'm hoping to get school started with the olders and they're needing me to be right beside them. So a couple toys that they get put away when school's over.
Oh,
so
that's
try
such
to keep
a good
them
idea.
Fresh.
That's good idea.
And that's from many homeschoolers before me who've had okay. that idea of a special box that comes out. Or when you're trying to do a read aloud, there's mm-hmm. a special box that comes out for the okay. littles. And like I said, some days that works great. And some days that just makes the two toddlers scream over who gets to play with those special blocks or, yeah. you know.
Reality.
Yeah. But some days that really helps. And, you know, this year more than ever, we've just had to get creative with when we try to do certain things. Mm-hmm. And so what that looks like for us is I get the kids started on their stuff that they can do independently. And when everybody yeah. seems peaceful and they're done doing, usually it's their math, then I will do the subjects that require me going just back and forth between them a little yeah. bit. So helping Scarlett to get started on something and helping Duke with some spelling while I have those special toys out. Mm-hmm. And on the days where that's not going well, the TV goes on. Mm-hmm. And that's not my ideal. My mm-hmm. ideal would be that the TV never went on.
And of course, it's always educational, right?
Well, thankfully, they only want to watch Daniel Tiger, which at okay. least has like some, like, you know, they're learning some ways to interact with
that's
other
true.
People. Yeah. yeah. But in all reality, some days that's necessary in order to provide an environment that my older kids yeah. are not having mm-hmm. to try to focus while listening to a lot of crying. Mm-hmm. And that, again, like I said, that's not my ideal. And I'm not yeah. saying just turn the TV on and homeschool.
Yeah.
But some days you have to be okay with that being okay.
Yeah. yeah.
And setting a time limit on it, maybe it means you do less with your older kids that you're trying to teach. But yeah. that's okay. I remember, Mom, mm-hmm. when you came, I think, to help me after Birdie was born, so after uh-huh. our third. Okay. And I remember you saying to me after kind of you came a couple days a week for a little bit, and you said, honey, you need to let them watch more TV.
Me of all people.
Yeah, we didn't even have a TV growing up. But yeah. I think what you were trying to say is, like, it's okay
yeah.
to have to do certain things that aren't going to harm them in the long run.
Right.
Maybe are not right. the most ideal.
Yeah.
You know, and again, I'm not advocating for
but
having them watch
TV. But also sometimes it's things that sort of de-escalate the atmosphere in the home, if just for a little while, and if it means resorting to a well-thought-through video or DVD or Daniel Tiger, if it means you've de-escalated the rising tension in the home, then you've accomplished something important.
No, it's so true. And that's exactly what I mean. It's just some days that's what's needed.
Yeah.
To create the environment that we're trying to create for everybody.
And you're not doing this long term.
No.
You're not using, I mean, I remember feeling like I used Sesame Street, which was all we had back then, came on at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. But it was sometimes either that or no dinner.
Yes.
Fussiest time of day. And so sometimes Sesame Street went on, even though I knew all the stuff about it, that it was to shorten people's attention spans and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
But sometimes it was just a matter of survival.
Yes.
And me being able to be kind and nice and patient sometimes meant sticking the toddler into something that could take his attention instead of my all my attention.
Yes. Yeah.
But also I think sometimes that fussy toddler or even the fussy baby just needs to be held.
Yes.
And to hold that child in your lap and to include them in it. Mm-hmm. For some children, that is all they really need.
Yes.
With you, that's mostly what you needed.
Mm-hmm.
You just didn't want to be shuffled off to the side almost ever. Remember, I used to call you my shadow because I don't think you ever let 18 inches get about the furthest you would get away from me for the first about 5 years of your life.
Oh, gosh. And I've joked that Sloan is my youngest, is getting me back for what you've described.
There you go.
I was.
And just it was a constant, up.
Oh, gosh.
And, you know, maybe that was, at the time it seemed really annoying, but maybe that was just as important part of you being at rest and at peace and of us bonding together. Had you been just this trouble-free child, you wouldn't have gotten the attention that you really actually did need.
Yeah.
And knowing your personality now, I see more than ever how you needed that attention.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had shuffled you off to the side, you would have not had a voice. You would have not had the courage to have a voice because you're not a particularly aggressive person.
Mm-hmm.
So you can look at Sloan and her aggression right now and say, okay, she's learning to express herself. And you're being forced to deal with her unacceptable means of
getting my attention.
Herself.
Oh, it's so true. It's so true. And I think, you know, it's forced me to have to get creative about the smaller moments and view the moments where, you know what, we just got 5 minutes of a read aloud in.
Yeah.
And instead of looking at that as failure, looking at that as we got 5 minutes of a read aloud in, that is better than us not doing any read aloud at all.
Yes.
Also, I have to fight my own tendency to be like, we're going to finish the chapter I set out to do, even though everybody's crying and everyone's stressed out, which means nobody's learning. I can still have the tendency to be like, but it's on my list to finish, so we're going to finish. So I'm learning to recognize there are moments when you have to say, oh, that's what we could do today.
Yeah.
And the babies need me and the big kids are fine with that. They're like, great, we didn't have to do as much work as you said.
Yeah.
But then also, you know, this year I've had to utilize nap time and quiet time to do some more one-on-one work with my older kids. And I'm super introverted. I've always protected that time as my time to recoup. But, you know, I've been really surprised. I feel like the Lord has really stretched me in. Those have actually become really sweet times with the big kids, where I feel like I'm able to teach them in the way that I actually want to. They've ended up being life-giving for me, and it's when there's just less tension because no toddlers are crying. The big kids enjoy it. They actually, so I have a list of, they have, and this might be helpful too with toddlers. My big kids are in fifth grade and third grade, so they can do a lot more independently. But they have a list of stuff that is their like individualized subjects, and they can do it primarily independently with me helping here and there. And then we have a list of more like schoolhouse subjects that we do together. So like history, science, we do all together. So they'll get their independent stuff done and they'll say, I'm done with school. And this happens literally every day. They'll say, I'm done with school. And I'll say, wait a second. No, we have our, we call it our morning time, but we do at like 1 o'clock when the littles go down for naps. I'll say, no, we're not done. We still have history and writing. And they say, oh, yeah, but that's not school, Mom. That's just the stuff we do together.
Success.
So, yes.
Celebrate
that. That even just shows me like, man, they don't even view that as school. And yeah. I feel like that is the most academically rich part of our day.
Yeah.
You know, but I know that the routine we're currently in is going to have to change because it's going to be continually evolving and it's working right now. It's probably not going to work in 6 months. And so I think being flexible, I guess, is what I'm saying. And this is coming from a person who is anything but flexible.
So another thing that I've seen parents do, and I did do it for a brief period of time, is if you can hire, especially during this time of COVID, a mommy's helper.
Yeah.
Somebody who's not old enough yet to babysit or demand the wages of a babysitter,
yes.
but who has a little bit of free time and maybe could come over and play for 2 hours with your baby and or your toddler and your baby's in the swing and she can kind of watch over things and she can make a little bit of pocket money and develop some of her skills and you can concentrate on the areas of homeschool that you really wish you could get to otherwise. Yeah. So that's something to keep it in mind in these days as well.
Yeah, that's really good. And just to circle back on the like having some special toys, you don't have to spend a ton of money to do that, right? They're out of them now. But beginning of like probably August, all the Target dollar bins were overflowing with stuff that you can use. I got all sorts of these little... Our four-year-old has a bunch of fine motor delays, so puzzles are really hard for her. But they had all sorts of these little, like, two-piece puzzles that were attaching letters together. And she doesn't understand what they are. And I'm not – I don't have the time when I'm trying to teach the others to be – that's an A.
Yeah.
Put it next to the apple. But she spends a long time trying to attach all of those, too, and they're just in a little plastic bag, and they only come out during school. So just little things like that. Just be keeping your eye out for anything that maybe doesn't make a huge mess, that you don't have this huge disaster to clean up, although that is most days in our house. But just little things like that to keep their attention. But second question we got multiple times was like day in the life, routine. What did your routine look like? So I feel like it's important to tackle that, although that's going to be different for everybody. And like we just talked about, like my stage is babies and toddlers and big kids because we have them spread out. So my routine is going to look different now than it will when they're all older or the routine of somebody who has a baby, a toddler, and a kindergartner. I haven't had that yet. My kids were in public school. So why don't, do you want to talk about that stage? Well, you kind of did.
Like, a little bit.
Yeah.
I did recognize that we're morning people. So we have a kind of an expiration date at a certain time every day. But I had to play tricks on myself as well. So I like, I mentioned in the other episode that on homeschooling that I love to have my house all perfectly neat and orderly. So I trick myself and say, okay, I can't clean up my house until I've done this much in homeschool. Otherwise, I'm never quite done with having things the way I want them. And I know that no matter how tired I am, I'm going to make my bed.
Yeah.
At some point.
At some point in the day.
So tricking yourself a little bit sometimes. And John Mark worked best in 15-minute increments. And by the if I had him go any longer than that, then his own perfectionist tendencies would come out and a lot of frustration. So I would sometimes put a timer on and force him to stop at the 15-minute mark just because it just helped him to be less intense. I know that may sound rare. Most kids need to be seem to be pushed. He actually needed to be constantly pulled back in and say, "Okay, go play now," so that he would just release the intensity of "I want to learn this right now."
Yes.
And so you know, all kids are so different. I also did a few things just so that my house wasn't always my kitchen wasn't always. Open and working and messy. So I made breakfast in the morning. And as I was cleaning it up, I made lunch as if they were going to school. And it was pretty much school type stuff, sandwiches and, you know, an apple and just normal school kind of stuff. And I had it set aside so I didn't have to restart
that's
another
really good.
Meal.
Yeah.
And then oftentimes in the afternoon, I would be, you know, drilling kids on certain things. You know, they would be doing a quick, you know, early afternoon spelling tests, you know, math things, just the study kind of part that has to come when the kids are a little bit older. And during that time, I was always preparing dinner. So snapping green beans, I always made the salad early. Not because I'm this paragon of organization, but because my mom always did that. And by that time, I knew my deficit in being actually organized. There's a difference between a person who is tidy and a person who's actually organized. A lot of really organized people are not as tidy, but they're ahead of, they're thinking ahead. I had to learn to think ahead. But I did remember mom always had the salad made sometime in the afternoon.
Yeah.
The table set ridiculously early. The onions cut up. She would just find time in her day to do this. So homeschool was ideal to do that because honestly, sitting next to a child who's either less than motivated or just not getting something really quickly and you're sitting one-on-one is when all that impatience and antsiness rises inside of you. It's just, can't you just hurry up? So it was far better to have you at the kitchen, at the bar, at the kitchen, sitting on a stool doing your schoolwork, and me across from you doing all the chutting and the, you know, the preparing of the vegetables or whatever. Not maybe usually involved cooking where I was happening to look at a recipe, but just the prep work. That really helped. It just helped me be a nicer person. And it just was a better use of my time. Or folding clothes. Or it seems like I was always doing something. Especially so during funny, the slow things.
I can't tell you how many like dictation like lessons or spelling tests I've done in my bathroom while I'm putting makeup on because the kids would be like, I'm ready to do this right now. I was like, well, I'm not, but if you come in here, I can do it while I'm putting makeup on for the day.
So this is about as far from a rigid school at home routine as you can get. And for me, that was absolutely necessary. Some people, maybe that would just drive them absolutely up a wall. But for me, I needed to weave homeschooling into the reality of I was managing my home and I didn't have the money to have help. We didn't have the money to get to go out to eat. We were, you know, homeschooling also involves the very real sacrifice of a second income. And so that just meant a lot of work.
And I think it's important to use the word routine, not schedule. I think maybe a schedule works when all of your kids are older and if they're the personalities that fit well into blocks of time and things being planned out. And I think that totally works for some people. But I think more often than not, it's an overall flow and routine that is more realistic for the real life of homeschooling. And, you know, so for us, ours is kind of constantly adapting, and I realized I kept constantly changing it and stressing my kids out. And so I'm going to let our current routine just kind of simmer for a while and let them settle into it. But
make sure you talk about this thing that you told me about. I wish I'd known when I was homeschooling, called loops. Is
Loops? Loop scheduling. Okay, I'll totally talk about that. So should I talk about that now? Do that first? Okay. So actually, one of the questions that we get asked a lot and that I didn't fully understand when I was started homeschooling is I thought you have to do everything every day.
Yeah, me too.
But the reality is in public school, they're not learning history every day or science every day or even PE every day. They're on some sort of schedule and that is looping. And so there are way more brilliant people than me. There are endless YouTube videos on loop scheduling. Just literally go to YouTube and put in loop scheduling. And you can watch so many videos on exactly how to do it. Pam Barnhill and Sarah McKenzie have a really helpful one that they did together. It's kind of long, but there's a bunch of shorter ones as
Is that Read Along Revival?
Read Aloud Revival. Oh my gosh, such a good resource. But all it is, it sounds complicated and it felt really complicated to me. I kept trying to use it last year and it wasn't working, but I'm still trying to use it this year. And It's pretty brilliant. So all it is, so, okay, for example, we do science and history and geography all together. So okay. Duke doesn't have a separate curriculum than Scarlett. We do it all read aloud, literature based. So we do it all together. So rather than on Tuesdays, I do geography, and on Wednesdays, I do history, and on Thursdays, I do science. Rather than doing that, you put it on a loop, and here's why. So say I get to the first two, but we get to Thursday and I'm supposed to do science, but somebody gets sick or something gets scheduled in the middle of the day and we just don't get to it. Mm-hmm. When that happens, you immediately feel like you're behind. Mm-hmm. Oh, I missed something. I'm behind a week. That's going to throw off my whole year. That's how we feel. And then we feel like we either have to make it up or we have to double up on another day, something like that. But when you have it on a loop, you're never behind. So what it would mean is my loop would be a list: history, geography, science, or maybe if I want to do history more than I want to do everything else, it might be history, geography, history, science. So I start at the top of my loop on Monday and I choose how many I'm going to do. So I would pick one. Say I'm going to do one a day of my loop. So that would mean Monday I do history, the next day I do geography, the next day, you know, and so on. And then once you finish your loop, you just start back over at the top.
No matter what day of the week it is.
And I found that this doesn't work for every area for us, but certain areas it's fantastic. You don't put your subjects that you're trying to do every day. So for us, that's like math and some sort of language arts and reading. We do those every day. But there's certain things like typing programs and handwriting and just various extra certain vocabulary work, anything extra that I'm wanting to add in for the kids. If I try to add all that in every day, they're going to be overwhelmed. We're inevitably not going to get to stuff and everyone's going to feel behind. But so the kids have their own loop. They have their stuff they do every day and then they have just kind of their extras loop. That it's different for each kid depending on what I want to have them work on. And on the days that I put loop on their list, they just have to go do two, whatever the next two are on their list. And so most of the time their loop takes them 10 or 15 minutes. They're not long things. But then I can look at that and realize, oh, we're getting to typing. We're getting to handwriting. We're getting to nature study. We're getting, you know, without a rigid schedule around it.
I just think that's just brilliant.
It's amazing.
I keep thinking, I'm obviously have no kids at home. Not homeschooling. And I keep thinking of that loop, thinking, how could I implement that?
You can do it with house stuff. I'm about to try it with just house chores. Like, what are the things I do every day? What are the things I want to hit once a week or twice a week?
Yeah.
And you put them in whatever order, whatever order you want to put them in.
Okay.
So it's pretty brilliant. I'm still figuring out the best way to work it into our lives.
Yeah.
But I've found the kids respond to it so well for their own individual loops because somehow when my kids look at the list I've written down for them to do that day, if it has a bunch of things, they get overwhelmed. But even if there's multiple things within their loop, if it just says loop, they joyfully go and do their loop. And it's almost like exciting. What do I have to do today?
Surprise.
And you could get, I mean, every kid is motivated differently. Like I thought they would love, well, what if I get them like good stickers and they can like mark off their loop. And they both were like, no, stickers are boring and super kiddish. We don't want stickers. But some kids, that might be like the highlight of their day that I get to go put a sticker on it. But more than anything, the purpose is, I think, really mental more than anything. To try to shed yourself of the feeling that we're behind. There's just always this feeling of we're not doing enough. We're behind, we're behind, we're behind. But that's not actually true. And you have to fit homeschool into your real life or it won't work.
That's right.
And I didn't fully understand that when we first started. I was like, let's just do everything the public schools do and let's try to do it just like they do it. And so our routine, a little more practical details about that, that's been ever evolving and I've had to really listen to my kids. Because my kids, you know, some kids, they get up and they are ready to start. And there are lots of homeschoolers that 8 a.m. everyone is at the breakfast table and they're starting. But my kids want time to play in the morning and they don't want to be rushed, especially Scarlett. And I'm not ready to start school at 8. I usually have too many things going on in the morning that I'm trying to do. And I'm trying to get the house tidied up so that I can focus and teach them. So our kids get up about 7 And this is more routine for our big kids. The little kids is different, but our big kids, they get up at 7 before they really do, before they can play. They need to get themselves ready for the day, mm-hmm. eat breakfast. And then I'm trying to implement us doing our chores in the morning. That's yet to actually happen. Usually that happens after lunch. Mm-hmm. Some days they do their chores. They tidy up their room and then they can play until 9 o'clock. So they read their Bibles in the morning. Like all of that has to happen before they play.
Okay.
But usually they're done with all of that by 8. Yeah. And then they can play from 8 to 9. They can, usually they build Legos.
Right.
But then at 9 o'clock, I call them all together. And again, I'm not usually ready, like all ready for the day, ready to start. Yeah. But I get them started on their math. We do a math called teaching textbooks. So they do it independently. It's amazing because I'm terrible at math. So they start their math. And then typically we go into language arts after that. And I'm go back and forth helping them with that. But then they kind of work through the morning until they get their stuff done. We were having a little bit of a problem. I was letting them kind of take breaks whenever they wanted.
Yeah.
Just saying, I just have all your independent stuff done by lunch. But one of my kids was taking a lot of breaks and was never done by lunch. And so we're trying to implement, okay, you get one 20-minute break and you can choose when you use it.
Yeah,
like do however many subjects you want. So Duke usually likes to get through all of his stuff.
Yeah.
Scarlett usually does two things and takes a break, but we were needing to kind of break her from, I need a break after every subject.
Yeah.
Because we're not doing these subjects for extended periods of time. Mm-hmm. I'm not making them work for hours without a break.
Yeah.
Their independent stuff doesn't actually take that long.
Okay.
But then typically they're done whenever they're done with that. We have lunch and we're trying to implement doing kind of an audiobook over lunch because we keep not getting to reading aloud as much as my idealism would like to. So we're attempting that. It's not working great yet because the toddlers don't quite understand. They have to be quiet, but we're working on it.
Yeah.
And then around 1 o'clock when Sloan goes down for her nap is when we do our together subjects.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's spread out more than I would like. I would love us to be done by lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the reality of our routine or our stage and having toddlers, that's just what our routine is looking like right now. But we do that Monday through Thursday.
Okay.
And then Friday is kind of a whatever we didn't get to, we can do on Friday, or we can go do a nature study, or we can do no school at all. Or one thing we're going to attempt to do, I can't say this is officially a part of our routine, but we're trying it this Friday. Brooke and I just had a long talk about it, is because of the stage we're in and homeschooling with toddlers and having, you know, significantly older kids at the same time, I'm feeling like they need some time where we're doing fun type school things without the stress of interruptions or crying. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to start as many Fridays as I can, taking them to we have a coffee shop 5 minutes from our house. Taking them to the coffee shop for an hour, maybe two, and doing the stuff that I was feeling like we're just not getting to. Like, I got this great children's book of Shakespeare. Like, I'd love to read that to them. We're not getting to it. We have literally not read it once, and we started school in the beginning of August. So I realized I can use that as like our enrichment time.
So where are the littles during this
time? So Brooke has Friday off. I should clarify that. Yeah. One of Brooke's days off is Friday. So that's why that's going to work.
Yes.
So, but here's
no
the thing.
No reason it couldn't happen on a Saturday,
or an
Sunday
evening.
Or an evening.
I think this is, you just have to open yourself up to what is my stage and what do my kids need and what do I need?
Yeah.
And then build your routine from there. Mm-hmm. Try it. And if it's not working, try something else.
Yeah.
And I think you have to shed this idea that school is from 8 to 3. Mm-hmm. It does not take that long to homeschool. Mm-hmm. If you think about the public schools and the routine that they have, they're not actually educating for very much time. Because if you just count the recesses, the time it takes to come inside from recess and take off your jacket and sit down at your desk and get everybody's attention and lunch and assemblies and...
Often 30 kids in a classroom.
Totally, totally. Yeah. And I have so much respect for teachers. They do an amazing job.
Yeah.
But if you were to add up the actual hours that they're learning, it's not the full time that they're at school. In fact, I have a friend who's an elementary school teacher. She's a phenomenal teacher. And I was showing her everything we had planned for the year, just needing to know, this is how I'm wired, needing to know I had picked the right things. And she loved it all. And then we got done looking at all of it. And she said, okay, now do about half.
Yes. Good for her. And, good for her.
And she said, all these books that you picked that you guys are going to read together, do 3 of them, not 10 of them.
Okay.
And then said, try a couple things of do history every day for 3 weeks and then take a total break from it and try doing science every day, which is a little more like a unit study type mm-hmm. approach. But that I feel like was really helpful to me, to just the reminder of it. Look, your routine can look like whatever works for your family. Yes. And yeah. it's not, we do everything every day. There's right. certain things they just have to do every day. My kids yeah. hate math. I hate math. We yeah. joke around about how yes. much we all hate math.
Yeah.
They still have to do math every day.
Right. That was the one textbook that we finished every year. In
yes.
fact, I would say, okay, your last day of school can be when you finish your last math mm-hmm. test. And sometimes that meant we were going into July mm-hmm. to finish math.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The last thing I'd say is, you know, I know that we even got some questions about like, how do you plan your year? How do you lesson plan? And, you know, obviously I'm still learning this. I do not have this figured out. But one thing that I have realized for me, and this is going to be different for everybody, when I try to look at planning our whole year or planning mm-hmm. each semester, I get totally overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. Mostly because I'm like, well, I don't even know what we're supposed to do
yeah.
in a semester or a year. And I think I have a lingering, I know my idealism and I know how harmful it can be to my kids. And so I want to be careful to not overplan because I will stick to my plan, mm-hmm. even if my kids are definitely letting me know this plan is not yes. working, Mom. So I plan 1 week at a time.
Okay.
So I have a rough idea of what, you know, I know what we're going to use for the year, roughly. But as far as actual lesson plans, I do it on Sunday afternoon, mm-hmm. usually. I write out everything that the kids are going to have to do. I look at all of their stuff, make sure it's doable and I'm not trying to overplan. And for us in our stage, 1 week at a time is what works. And I'm even questioning that and wondering if I need to go a little bit 1 day at a time. Mm-hmm. Because I'm realizing that, again, if I write something down, I can hold too closely to yeah. it. Now, yeah. some of you have the opposite problem.
Yes.
And I know, Mom, you're different personality mm-hmm. than me mm-hmm. in that you would need a weekly plan
yes.
and force yourself to stick to
yes.
it.
Yes.
So otherwise, can you talk about that? Like, I think it's self-awareness is so key because mm-hmm. some people need to plan a lot more than I do.
Yeah.
And some people who are wired like me need to go into every day saying, mm-hmm. okay, Lord, this is the rough plan.
Yeah.
But please help me be able to listen to my kids, listen mm-hmm. to my stage, know when to push, know when to... Mm-hmm. say, you know what? You don't need to do that today. Mm-hmm. And know who my kids are. I have really driven kids. They're not trying yeah. to get out of stuff all the yeah. time. So when Duke comes to me and says, Mom, I'm so stressed out. I can't fathom doing mm-hmm. my whole list today. Mm-hmm. I can listen to him because yeah. he's not a lazy yeah. kid. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you talk to the other end of those okay. that maybe need to plan yes. a little bit more.
So for me, planning meant more relief mentally than anything else. Maybe helping with that feeling of I'm never doing enough or mm-hmm. what am I forgetting? I've lived with the question, what am I forgetting about every hour of every day of my life? Because I'm usually forgetting yeah. something. So I plan just as a matter of survival. And I did plan the year out every year. And I never made it all the way to the end, but that's not devastating to me. I would look at the curriculum, divide it up, just do the math. How many lessons a week needed to be done? How far we needed to get to be able to get to the whole thing and do a rough sketch of the entire year
yeah.
on several sheets of paper. And then I had a regular teacher's planning book and planned out the week. I didn't plan out the month because it was too frustrating.
Yeah.
Because so often something needed to be carried over to the next week. And
yeah.
so I was scratching out and erasing. And so I did just plan a week. But at least then I knew on January 15th when I was losing motivation mm-hmm. that we needed to just, you know, keep going so that we could finish by, usually we took vacations, camping or something, almost the last day of school. Mm-hmm. So I could just keep pushing through and not do what would be typical for me to kind of fizzle out.
Yes.
So that plan kept me from fizzling out mm-hmm. oftentimes. So yeah, I mean, we're both planners. I do always admire the women who did more of a spontaneous approach.
Yes.
You have to be really well educated and really intelligent and very motivated.
Probably not type A.
Probably not type A. Where they take a curiosity of their child and they redo their whole curriculum.
It's amazing.
That's amazing.
It's called unschooling. It's incredible.
It is incredible. And only people I've seen do it successfully was a woman who had a couple of master's degrees in education. She just, it was instinctive education, teaching, academics just kind of oozed out of her pores. Mm-hmm. And I saw it just, you know, she raised these children who just went on to be great academics. For the rest of us lowly people, we need a little bit more structure than that. Yeah. If you don't have structure, you're not going to do your child the what they deserve to have. And that is really teach them skills that are are tangible skills that they've progressed in their reading and their spelling and their ability to write a letter and all the things that they need to learn. So some sort of planning is absolutely essential. If that just sounds overwhelming to you, I would suggest that you use a very well-planned curriculum from one source. For some people, that is the only way that they're going to succeed, is if each day is completely laid out for you. And those are, remember, those are developed by brilliant educators who understand the process of learning. And so being all free and all these different subjects, like I did and like Elizabeth, you're doing, is not always the best option for your personality.
And I'm finding it, as much as I thought I wanted that, I'm second guessing it in myself because I'm new at this. I'm feeling a little bit like, okay, this is so not linear.
Yeah.
My kids are doing fine, but I'm constantly questioning. Like I'm realizing I think I need a little bit of mix of, I want structure in certain subjects and I want freedom in others. And I think that's the beauty of it. It's like even the whole unschooling thing, certain subjects, no matter what your personality is, you can do that.
Yeah.
Like elementary science, we're learning. That's that's how my kids want to learn science. Okay. Whatever we're interested in, Mom, and let's go learn about it.
Yes.
And with all of the free resources online and with your library and kitchen experiments, I mean, there's so many resources out there to do more interest-led in certain subjects. But then in other subjects, I know that I need a little more structure because I'm not a trained educator.
Right.
And so I don't, and I am type A, so I want to know that I'm doing the right thing.
Yeah.
So, I think it just depends on the subject. I think it depends on the home, your stage, so many things. So my routine isn't going to look like somebody else's routine. My routine doesn't look like what I wish my routine looked like at all. Not even at all. Yep. I just joke with Brooke all the time. He'll be like, how is your day? How's it going? And literally, I feel like I say this to him every day. I said, the only way I can describe what our current stage feels like is, you know, the game Whack-A-Mole, where the little, like, I don't know, it's an animal of some kind, like pops up and you hit it with the mallet. And as fast as they keep popping up and you just keep hitting them and hitting them and hitting them. That's literally what
does everybody, anybody
it feels
ever
like.
Actually win that game?
I don't think so. And that's literally what it feels like. It's like I just, I turn and somebody else, and I don't know if I have the mallet or if they have the mallet. I'm not sure who's being hit, me or them. Probably a little bit of back and forth. But I just think, you know, I'm learning to laugh more than I did last year and just recognize someday maybe it will look like more of the routine that I would hope it to be. But if I can take a step back and say, is this working for my kids?
Yeah.
And most days it roughly is, and that's success. And it's roughly working for me.
Yeah.
So I think that's really important, is ask yourself those questions and don't be afraid to ditch the routine if it's not working. Try something else. And talk to people who have been doing this longer, because they're going to have a lot of tips and ideas, which more than anything is just going to give you the freedom to do what you know is going to work for your family.
Yeah. Good.
But another question, Mom, this is for you, and I just think it's so important. And she writes, Diane, we've been homeschooling for 5 years. I'm weary and doubting that we made the right choice. How did you reignite passion, vision, and confidence as a homeschool mom?
I hear you on the word weary. Mm-hmm. And even sometimes in the envy you feel of others who don't feel this burden to homeschool their children. And, you know, I never had what was an ideal back in the 80s. I don't think it's an ideal anymore of that, sending my kids off all off to school and having the house to myself. Oh, gosh. I never experienced that. And, of course, a lot of moms don't now because they immediately go to a part-time or full-time job. But the weariness, I think, is a very real symptom of burnout. Mm-hmm. And I would say to a woman like that, that she needs to do what she needs to do. And her husband needs to be part of it, mm-hmm. to give her a break, to let her get away someplace for a few days and re-examine her why. Why are you doing this? And what can I eliminate or what can I add into my life so that this is life-giving for me too? Mm-hmm. 5 years is a long time to go feeling like you're not sure you even should be doing this. Mm-hmm. I mean, even examining things like, is this God calling me to do this? Or is this me feeling like, well, the best moms all homeschool? Yeah. It's the mark of a real committed mom. That's nonsense. Yeah. And we need to call that out.
Yep.
On the other hand, sometimes we just get tired of doing the same thing over and over and over again. Or sometimes maybe a mother is denying her own creativity or her own actual emotional needs. In this case, because my husband was so really honestly supportive of me, doing what I was doing. He saw the results after a couple of years in our kids and saw that it was doing good as far as, especially as far as their discipleship with Jesus.
Yeah.
So it would have to come to him sometimes and just be honest and say, I'm just, this is so hard. Mm-hmm. And inevitably what he gave me was perspective. He is not the kind of person who would say to me, you know, crack the whip and be more disciplined and get up earlier. And he knew that for me, what I needed to hear is take a couple days off. Let's go do something fun as a family. Can you just lighten up, Di, just a little bit? On the other hand, there are some women who need a husband who can come in and bring the structure that you're lacking. I know so many fathers who are involved in actually teaching part of homeschool.
Yeah.
That was never our story and it was never going to be. I could not require that of my husband. He's a pastor. He worked crazy hours. It was a calling that I felt called to support him as a pastor. He's not a teacher by nature. What he contributed was the element of fun that I seem to be bankrupt most of the time. And I needed to listen to him when I wanted to finish something. And instead he said, we really need to go have fun. For about 4 years of our homeschooling, we lived in Santa Cruz. And most of the time, fun was right outside our window because from our kitchen window, we could see a bare sliver of Seacliff Beach. And it was an eighth of a mile across the road from us, and he would say, let's all go to the beach. And most of the time I would argue, because you know what it means, going to the beach. all that sand.
It's all coming home to your bathtub.
I'd be vacuuming, sweeping up sand 9 o'clock that night, but was always the right thing.
Yeah.
John Mark needed to yell and let loose on the beach. Rebecca needed to have freedom to roam. You know, Elizabeth, you would just kind of crawl around and find out some things to put in your mouth. and I needed the beach to give me perspective, the larger perspective that even if my kids learned nothing that week, they were going to continue to grow in spite of me. They were going to continue to actually learn and add to their understanding of God's world and God's way in the world. And most often they'd even advance in reading just by being able to read their own little comic books or whatever. So just have hope if you're really weary right now. And there's a scripture that for years, this is an Enneagram 9. Okay, so I postponed doing it till it was completely out of fashion. For years, I was going to have this verse stenciled on my wall. or I was going to actually learn how to do something crafty.
I think I remember you talking about stenciling verses on the wall.
Yes. I had an idea of a willow tree with it. Never did it. Now stenciling, I don't know. I think it's actually coming back right now. So maybe there's hope.
Yeah, maybe.
But this is the verse. It's in the New American Standard, and I love just the poetry of it. Comes out of Matthew chapter 11. You all know it. Starts in verse 27. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my load is light. It's beautiful. Every one of us need that every day.
So good. What would you say to the part of her question where she said she's wondering if she made the right choice?
I think two things. You're either doubting yourself or something inside of you is telling you maybe it's time to put the kids back in a school situation. And now's the time to really talk honestly with your husband. I mean, you two together are responsible. But also ask some people who are supportive of homeschool, but who know you really well.
Yeah.
And ask them what they think about that. This is a judgment call. Again, it's not right or wrong. You know, we pray for God's leading and we think we have it. And then sometimes when God's leading doesn't turn out very well, we think, oh, I didn't hear correctly. But there's always something that God is teaching you in the midst of things. God's will doesn't always work out all neat and tidy and flourishing and prospering and remarkable. Sometimes it ends in seeming failure, and that's just life. We're doing the best we can to follow Jesus. So I would say don't ignore that voice. I'm wondering if you made a great mistake. Go seek some good counsel, the right kind of counsel. People who will be honest with you, but at the same time who are supportive of you.
Yeah.
Listen for what not just what they're saying, but what the Spirit is saying in your heart when they speak to you. Really talk to your husband about it and just be discerning. Maybe it's time to put them back in school. Maybe you're just tired and it's lost its gloss. It's no longer fun and new and adventuresome now. It's just the hard work of spelling and reading and trying to correct long division when you would really rather just whip out your calculator and never have to remember that kind of stuff before.
Yeah. And I that just brings two things to mind for me too of, you know, asking what is it in you that makes you feel like it's the wrong choice? Is that because of how you feel doing it and what it's bringing out in you, and maybe your marriage is suffering because you're spread really thin, or the connection and relationship with your kids is suffering, or is it because you see your kids needing something different? I think getting you know, really specific rather than global language, but asking God to show you what is it that's making you question if it's the right choice.
Yeah.
Is it you? Is it them? Is it both? I think is just an important question. I think we all tend to use global language, but when we get specific, we're sometimes able to hear the Spirit speaking to the specific area.
That's really that we're
needing, you know.
That's really wise.
And then I think just too, as somebody who was homeschooled and went to public school, just to maybe help give perspective is, so Mom, you homeschooled me until my freshman year of high school. And then I went to school. And I would say homeschool completely prepared me for going to high school and college. Academically, it was totally fine. Like, totally fine. I hated high school. Absolutely hated it.
Yeah.
But I would say, and although I don't feel like I learned a lot in it, like it academically, it wasn't great. We also moved a couple times while I was in high school, so that was an extra challenge. But I was a really, really introverted, self-conscious, unsure of myself kid who had a strong faith. Like, I wasn't weak. I just was really introverted and shy. And so I always tell people I hated high school and it was really good for me at the same time.
Yeah.
And so I think, like, if you're questioning, is this the right thing for our kids? Are they going to be ready? Are they going to be able to go into a school system? Am I going to mess them up if I put them in a school system? Like, I'm just one example, but I think, you know, I, like we said in the last podcast, I don't really remember anything you taught me in homeschool. But I know that I got to high school and was fine.
Yeah.
And I got to college and was fine.
Yeah.
And there was, for me, a social aspect that was good about being put in at one point. Mm-hmm. And I've said for years, pre-homeschooling, some of the most well-rounded people I know have done both.
Yes.
They were homeschooled for a time. They were in school for a time. Mm-hmm.
They did private school maybe for a time.
Yeah. And they, I feel like it's those people that are the most, like, hardworking, smart, able to figure out how to learn, have great social skills. Like, it's usually the people who did some of both.
Yes, yes.
I think you're right. I think we need to shed this thinking that, like, it's all or nothing, one or the other.
Yeah.
And obviously, like, some kids would do fine going back and forth between homeschool for a few years, come home, you know, or go to school for a few years. Some kids need the stability of doing it for a long period of time. But others are perfectly fine going in and out. I think of our daughter. I think she'd probably be fine doing some of both.
Yeah.
You know.
And, you know, it depends on you as a mom, too, because we got you guys to high school, and I realized I didn't want to have to become who I would have to become to get you successfully through high school. There's a certain amount of pushing that happens, pressure and pushing that happens during high school, right? As developmentally, kids are, like, sleeping more than they ever had. And for me personally, I didn't want what would happen to my relationship with you. If I push people, I have to become somebody that I'm not. And it's exhausting to me to push people. And so it was better for me to send you to high school, even though I felt like, gosh, some of these people, they're doing it all the way through high school and their kids are writing, like, these amazing essays and reports. And I never would have gotten you to complete a report because you would have just started working on me and I would have seen your misery and I would have relented. Yeah. You needed some of those hardcore teachers. You also needed to learn how to deal with not nice people. And they're all over the high schools.
I had a couple of teachers like that. Yeah.
Well, they're so tired of their kids by the time they reach, you know, retirement, some of them, that they're pushing back.
Yeah.
And I think some flexibility, wisdom, discernment. You might put them in high school and 3 months in, you might say, this is disastrous.
Yeah.
Bring them back home again.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. Man, there's so many good questions. I feel like we could go on and on. We're actually going to do a part two because there's several more that were so good. But, you know, I think Mom and I's heart is to help women who are in my current stage, women who are doing what Mom did for years and years and years. So if you have more questions, just feel free to reach out. We'll do our best to answer. We're not experts by any stretch of the imagination. But we do just have a desire to help moms in their calling, in the hardships of motherhood. So if you have questions specific to homeschool or really anything, feel free to reach out over social media. I think we're intentional_parents, I think. We'll put that in the show notes. And we'll see you next time with part two.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If this podcast has blessed you in any way, here's a few ways that you can partner with us in this ministry. First is to give. Intentional Parents is a nonprofit and we rely on the generous giving of our partners. So please head over to our website, intentionalparents.org/give, if you would like to become one of our partners through giving. Second is to share it. If this has at all been helpful to you, we encourage you to share it with your friends, your family, and those that you know would be blessed by it. Third is to follow us on social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You can find us on Instagram at intentional_parents. And lastly, if you would head over to iTunes, if you enjoyed today's episode, and leave a review on iTunes, this helps us bring more hope, help, and healing for families.